Good morning, everyone. You're listening to WSHC Shepherdstown. This is Joe Gray, and this is Seven Generations Radio. I'm here this morning with Jan Hafer. Good morning, Jan. Let me fix your mic. So, all right, can you hear anything, Jan?
I can't hear you.
Can't hear. Let's see what's going on. Okay. Turn this up a little bit. Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. We are here today, Jan. We're going to talk about drug addiction, which I've covered before, and it's one of those topics that won't go away because the problem doesn't go away. Jan, you want to kick it off with some opening comments?
Sure. Well, Joe, first of all, thanks a lot for having me. This is unfortunately a topic that has affected my life. And I will share with the listeners my own particular story. But I also want to say that this is an opportunity to learn more about the disease of drug addiction. And I have some, of course, facts and some resources for people to contact if they know of anyone that is addicted to any drug, including alcohol, but also particularly today we're going to be talking about opioid or heroin addiction.
Okay. We recently had a show with Kevin Knowles and Dr. Aldous and Zakima Kill, and learned some disturbing facts about the amount of addiction that exists and the number of overdose deaths in this area. Mm-hmm. From opioids. Do any reading on this subject? It seems that the gateway is very, very often prescription meds, opioid pain medication, and we're so used to taking pills in our society to solve our problems that it's such an easy gateway. Here, take this pill. And then, you know, you have the opiate experience, and sometimes very shortly you wind up addicted and searching for a cheaper alternative, which is often street heroin.
Yes.
So, you know, as Kevin Knowles said, during a six-week period in Berkeley County, there were 24... opioid or heroin deaths among 90 overdoses. And there are alternatives in form of drugs like Narcan, which can reverse the effects. Mm-hmm. But we have a terrible problem. It seems when people go into prison, drugs are available there. They're not rehab. They often can come out back onto the street and wind up back in the same situation they were in because there are not good recovery treatment programs readily available for people, either beforehand or afterward. And one of the areas I'm most interested in is prevention, because, you know, it's going to be a lot easier to stop it before it starts.
That's right. Well, you've shared a lot of good information in that brief introduction, and I can add a little bit to it. But first of all, I'm so glad that you have Dr. Zaki McGill and Dr. Aldous on. They know quite a bit in this area about heroin addiction. And as you know, Zaki has a show on WSHC on Wednesday mornings, and he pays a lot of attention to this problem, and that's a go-to resource for people. He's been covering it for quite a while now, and one of the problems is that even though it seems like what you just talked about, everybody seems to know, that's really not true. Very few people, I think, when you look at the whole population, really know the facts about heroin addiction.
I think that's very true, because just judging from my own ignorance, I don't think I'm a terribly informed person, but I learned how little I knew.
Yes, that's what happened with me. I had my own stereotypical view, as most Americans do, because of what we've heard through the years and how heroin addicts have been portrayed on TV. You know, they're junkies. I mean, just even the words addict, junkie, people think they're throwaway people. And that more than anything, that statement from the public breaks my heart, because my own daughter is, she's a recovering heroin addict, but, you know, when it, excuse me, it is an emotional topic, because, you know, heroin can destroy your life. It certainly destroyed her life. It destroyed, in some ways, of course, my life and my family's life. And, you know, there's a danger of overdosing and ending your life. And, you know, I'm on Facebook like a lot of people, and whenever the topic of heroin comes up, there's a lot of reaction to it, and many people just say, oh, let them die. They, you know, they know what they're doing. They made a choice. And why should we save their lives? Like with Narcan. Yeah, let's start with that. Narcan is a drug whose sole purpose is to start a heroin addict who has overdosed to breathe again. And then, hopefully, they'll get help. That's often not the case. They do survive because of Narcan, but because there are so few programs, there's very little treatment, particularly in our area. We are starting down that path of providing treatment. It's wonderful, but we really can't serve the population.
As Dr. Aldous said when he was on my show, Narcan should be as available as peanut butter.
Exactly. There are no other effects other than to start a heroin addict breathing again. You know, you could get the, you know, it comes in an aerosol form and you just sniff it and it wouldn't affect you at all. It's not dangerous. So I think that this is the kind of thing, you know, agencies should just distribute it. In my opinion, the health department should have it. It should be in their budget that they are able to purchase Narcan and give it out to family members, friends, whomever wants it. And I'm actually trying to work on that. As you may know, I'm going to run for county commission. Mm-hmm. I am running. I'm not opposed in the primary, but I will be running for county commissioner, and I'm taking a hard look at the health department and adequate funding for them and the kinds of programs that they can provide. Heroin is an epidemic, and the health department's job is to contain epidemics and to treat people who are experiencing something like, well, the Zika virus. You know, that's an epidemic, and it's spreading this way, and they, I hope, will be prepared to treat that. But it's the same with heroin. It is a brain disease, and it alters your thinking, and it addicts you. And even if you get Narcan and you are breathing, it doesn't make you are very few people. I'm sure there's some, but they can't just say I'm quitting. But they need treatment, and we don't have adequate treatment. Now, you mentioned prevention, and that is a huge need. The Berkeley Jefferson County Coalition for the Prevention of Drug Abuse, which I know you did, you have Carolyn McLeod and Ardith Gilbertson. I think we're on.
No, Kevin Knowles was on. Yeah. On, but not. No, I.
Did he talk about that survey that they just sent?
No, I'm aware of the survey. Actually, I filled it out.
Great.
And I have been trying to get Carolyn on this show. It's difficult to do.
Well, you know, I think she was on John's show.
Okay.
But anyway.
Yeah. But it is a very, very good survey. I was glad to see it had options in there for you to make recommendations. Mm-hmm. as to what to do about this problem.
Yes, and if anybody that's listening out there wants to take part in the survey, which will help provide information for a grant that coalition is submitting to get monies to develop a very comprehensive prevention program here in Jefferson County, just go online, get to the health department, and I think you'll see it. It's listed there, so just click on that link, and you'll be able to fill it out. So that's going to be key in getting this money.
Right, right. Important in getting now. So this will attract, you think, some federal money?
Yes, it's federal money will be a part of that. I'm not exactly sure of all the details, but it's an essential step in going in providing comprehensive prevention services to the youth in our community. And as you know, kids don't have information. Their thinking skills are not totally developed, and they make poor choices often. Mm-hmm. Or they're afraid to stand up to so-called friends who want them to try drugs. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of misinformation for young people out there. So this grant will work through community organizations such as 4-H and Girls and Boys Clubs and Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, things like that. Mm-hmm. Schools that will inform children. Mm-hmm. And teenagers how to deal with substances that are harmful to them. They'll know the facts. They'll be taught strategies to turn down drugs, that kind of thing. The skills that they need to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And resist this kind of temptation.
And very importantly, I think the kids need to understand the real dangers, and the parents, the real dangers of taking some of these drugs, experimenting with, somebody may offer you a pill. That could be it. Game could be over for you. So that's where they need to understand how dangerous this is. What does it mean to be addicted? What's it like to live once you are an addict? What is your life like? I would personally like to see some addicts go around to the schools and talk to them. Mm-hmm. And health professionals and nurses that come out of emergency rooms go around to the schools and tell them what they see, because it's horrific.
And that kind of information will really help to prevent the situation that my family is in right now. My daughter is 26, and she, as I said, is a recovering heroin addict. I am raising her son, Henry, who's 5, and she got into, I'm not exactly sure when she actually tried heroin for the first time, but it wasn't because of a prescription from a doctor. I mean, you were correct, I think, in saying that many, many cases are because of the over-prescribing and inadequate monitoring by doctors of opioids. But there are also people who experiment, who are risk-takers. And then there's, I think, the biggest segment of the population, which research is showing now, that people who have experienced some kind of a trauma, at the root of a lot of addiction is pain, emotional and psychic pain, and they use a drug because the pain is so great and they can't deal with it, and then it's an escape. And I've talked with heroin addicts who say that the high that you get is unbelievable, and it's it not only that you remember what it feels like and you want to feel it, that's one thing, but your brain is hooked. You are really out of control with this thing. You can't just say, I'm going to stop. So So there's a lot of information now that shows that what heroin addicts need is a true sense of connection and support. Now, of course, when everybody talks about heroin addiction, they say, oh, well, you know, the parents can't enable them and they can't support them. And they get, well, that's true. But also, you can't not love your child and help them in emotionally supportive ways that can help them heal. But every family's different, and everybody has to decide for themselves what their family can do to help an addict. My daughter's been in treatment twice. This is the second time. And I was very naive the first time. I thought, oh, great, she'll go to this program, she'll come out, she'll be just fine. Well, it's really, in many cases, a lifelong struggle, and you can be clean for years, and then something happens, and you go back to it. But I'm hopeful that she will eventually conquer this, but I know that what she needs and she's getting is methadone. It's very hard to help an addict unless they have the medical aspect, the medical side of the disease treated. Of course, there's some people that don't believe in that, but methadone helps, and Suboxone, different drugs that prevent the brain craving heroin. And then the other piece is really intensive counseling. Mm-hmm. And while you're busy doing that, you do need some kind of support. Eventually, you know, you want to get a job and return to being a productive citizen, but it's a long road. My daughter was homeless, living under a bridge, and couldn't imagine it. But she's come a long way, and she's working hard. But this is the kind of thing, that comprehensive services that we need for addicts right now. So, okay. Did you have a question?
Well, it's all very difficult. But I want to go back to the prevention side for a second. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to be honest with kids. They need good information. And I think kids have been maybe misled quite a bit, I would say, about the dangers. And real straight, true talk, because I think they lose their trust or belief in what people tell them if they don't get the truth. And the truth is, as you said, it is a euphoria. It is a great feeling. Now, okay, child, understand that when somebody tells you you're going to feel great, that's true. But now you've got to understand what comes after that.
Yes.
And what can happen to you. And what can happen to you on the first time. Or what will happen as a result of the first time. And if you tell them that all drugs are the same and marijuana is the same thing as an opioid, you know, kids are not going to believe you.
Right. And they're not the same thing.
No, they're not the same thing. And that's another thing. As a society, we need to start talking real talk and talk truth rather than some of this baloney that seems to be out there. Now, also, when you get on television and every ill is cured by a pill, that means that you're not using your own self-empowerment to solve your problems. You're relying on an external source. So you lose the concept that you as a person even have power over your life, and you cannot solve your problems yourself. Therefore, you take a pill to solve your problems. That's something that's going to take a cultural shift, because we've gotten into a very dependent societal mode where, just look at the ads on television, everything is solved with a pill.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm glad that you talked about talking to kids straight and tell them the truth, because so often adults try to scare children with, you know, they make an overstatement, mm-hmm. like you said. You know, marijuana is not the same as heroin. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. But when you're honest with kids, that shows you respect them and you respect their opinion and their questions, and that's the foundation when you share any kind of important information that you want them to internalize. It's got to start with respect. Mm-hmm. So that's a key point. And I think another thing, you said we have this attitude in the country that we just pop pills and that's the solution. It's also because we have a very, we have no tolerance for waiting, for delayed gratification, or working on a problem that will take several steps. We want it instantaneous, and I think that's a huge societal problem today, which also influences this.
Yeah, I get a little taste of this, just some familial knowledge of school situations, kids that have this so-called ADHD, take a pill to resolve that so that the teacher can handle the situation. And then I'm reading, well, okay, exercise is a great alternative to that. Well, there, you're getting back to the empowerment thing. Can a person solve their problems themselves? They need to start learning at a young age. That's why I like what Jan Hummer is doing with Open Minds. Yeah. Where she's working with kids, trying to teach them self-empowerment, what's helping them understand what's going on with themselves, and learning how to deal with what's going on with themselves. So, and the other issue that I have to bring up that I think is behind a lot of this is the economic issue, the inequality, poverty issues, the joblessness, because I think you're going to find a high correlation between joblessness and introduction of heroin and opioids to solve problems. And
absolutely. But you know now, you know, it used to be that minorities used heroin. White middle-class people didn't do it. Well, now, guess what? The profile of the person who is using heroin more often today is a white middle-class 25-year-old woman. And
surprise,
that's exactly my daughter.
Surprise, surprise, suddenly the white community is very concerned to solve this problem.
Absolutely, and that's a sad commentary on the way we think. But it is true, and so now it's getting attention. And one thing I wanted to share with the listeners, an experience I had just the other night, is I went to the NAACP forum for the candidates who were running for prosecuting attorney and the county commissioners for the primary. And, of course, this, you know, heroin addiction came up from the audience. And I was really pleased to hear Hassan Rashid and Charlie Hunter, I think. I'm forgetting his name, the other prosecuting attorney. But they both said that jail isn't the answer for these people. It's treatment. And, you know, Hassan called for a treatment center in Jefferson County. We really need it. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, we need to start right now with prevention, absolutely, because we want to stop this horrible cycle. But there are so many people that are suffering now that end up in jail, and they just get recycled. They are in jail, they get released, and often commit crimes to get the money to buy the heroin. So it is devastating for our community. I mean, if you're not, you may be the kind of person who just says, well, that's their problem, and I accept that. There are people like that. But if you look at the impact on the community, even economics, I mean, you're losing people who are unemployed, and they do get some kind of help from the state, usually, and they're committing crimes, and that causes our budget to go up for policing. I mean, they can't handle all of the... So it's really a community problem, it's an economic problem, as well as a terrible personal tragedy right. for the people who are affected by heroin. But I was glad to hear that the prosecutors recognize that jail isn't the answer.
Right.
First treatment. But if they did say, and I do agree with this, if they commit a violent crime, mm-hmm. they have to, at some point, go to jail.
Sure. So. And the people, that the distributors, you know, they say a lot of it's trafficking in from Baltimore mm-hmm. area. And those distributors, you know, there's got to be consequences for that. Mm-hmm. There's because they're directly contributing to this problem and to the deaths of these people. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, it's not something you can treat lightly, and that's got to be stopped.
Right.
I mean, we're not going to stop it, but we are going to have to do what we can. Yeah, I mean, they can't even stop it inside the prisons.
Right.
Apparently, you know, so if you make a prison out of our society, that's saying you still can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the answer.
Right. And now one thing I wanted to share with listeners, too, is I was gratified to pick up my Friday copy of the Shepherdstown Chronicle, and I opened it to the editorial page, and there was an editorial by the editor, Toni Milburn, who wrote of her own recent tragedy in her family of a relative who overdosed on heroin. And I just thought her editorial, we need more sharing of these personal stories, because people still think that it won't happen to them. And it is an epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
Every 24 minutes in the United States, someone overdoses from heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And that I found that statistic on the Surgeon General's page.
Yep.
He is making opioid addiction, you know, his number one mission in stopping this. But that is a shocking statistic. More people die of heroin overdoses than there are than people who die in automobile accidents.
Right. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's a very common one. But I had not heard the 24 every hour. It's just amazing. But anyway, I want to thank Toni publicly for sharing her story and saying, it has now happened to me, and now I have a different view. And I think that, you know, tragically, it takes that. It took that with me, with my own family. I didn't really understand it until it happened to my family. And then, of course, I began to research everything.
Well, I hope I hope this will help people to think ahead, think about their kids and their grandkids, and do the things they need to do before it happens, because
absolutely.
I think prevention is where we need to go, but we've got to take care of the people who are addicted as well.
Absolutely.
So, Jim, I really appreciate you coming in. It's been a great discussion.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. And my next guest will be